Performance, USA. The greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Well, hi, gang. This is Jack McCoy holding up the curtain on another Command Performance. 30 minutes crammed full of the kind of stuff you asked for in those letters to Old Command, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Well, running the show tonight is one of movie land's brightest stars. She's got so much talent, you'll want to detain her. And it comes in such a lovely container. The beautiful star of that wonderful Urge, Jean Tierney.
Thanks a lot. Hi, everybody. Hello, Jack.
Gosh, Jean, to think it's really you. Jean Tierney, my dream girl.
What?
Yeah, the girl I've adored from afar, Jean. The girl I'm going to make love to. The girl I'm going to marry. The mother of my 12 children.
Hold everything, Jack. I don't even know you.
Well, that's all right. The children will bring us together. Oh, gee, what a wonderful life we'll lead. We'll have kisses for breakfast and kisses for lunch and kisses for dinner.
It wouldn't work.
Why not?
I like to bring home friends for dinner.
Okay. Say, Jean, what's cooking on the show tonight?
Well, I was asked to do a tear-jerking, heart-throbbing soap opera.
Oh, you mean the kind of drama where you hear...
Oh, John. Dear John.
What is it, Portia? You seem uneasy tonight.
Oh, John, I have something to tell you. I might as well tell you. I've got to tell you sometime. I might as well tell you now. I think I'll tell you. I ought to tell you. Maybe I'll tell you. Yes, I'll tell you.
Portia, do you have something to tell me?
Yes, John. We are going to have another mouth to feed.
Another mouth to feed? You mean...
Yes. Junior is growing another head.
Jean, is that what you're going to do?
No, I don't know who writes those soap operas, Jack. But whoever it is, I've developed an attachment for him.
Oh, really?
Yep. This attachment fits under a chair and carries 50,000 volts. Put on to more Command Performance business. Gang, recently the mailbags on Command have been heavy beyond precedent. This was due to the demands from GIs all over the world clamoring for the return appearance of a great artist, a man whose voice has rocked the nation, has rocked the hemisphere. In fact, his voice has rocked the entire globe.
And no other gravel pit can make that statement.
Jerry Colonna!
Thank you. Well, well, so you're Jean Tierney. Amazing.
Jerry, what's so amazing about my being Jean Tierney?
To think that twice you beat Dempsey.
Jerry, that was Jean Tunney, the man. I'm Jean Tierney, the woman. There's a difference.
Yes, indeed. I can't ask you for an autographed picture in your boxing trunks.
That's settled. Tell me, Jerry, what have you been doing lately? I hear you've traveled quite a bit.
Oh, yes, I have. In fact, I was invited to attend the United Nations Conference on World Problems.
As a delegate?
No, as a problem.
I thought so. I wondered why you would be invited to such an important event.
Miss Tierney, it may interest you to know that I am also a secret member of the International Court of Unity.
Oh, I see you.
And a peekaboo to you, too.
Gosh, Jerry, I didn't know you were such an important man in national affairs.
Oh, no? Who did General Eisenhower speak to before he entered the United Nations building? Who did General Omar Bradley speak to before he entered the United Nations building? Who did President Truman speak to before he entered the United Nations building?
To you?
They had to. I parked the cars there. While I was at the Capitol, the Marines gave me an oak leaf cluster.
Oh, Jerry, why would they give you an oak leaf cluster?
For losses and maneuvers, I lost my pants in a crap game.
Jerry, I can't make make up my mind whether you're an imposter, a prevaricator, or a fool.
Got you over a barrel, haven't I?
Oh, but you're lots of fun to be with, Jerry.
That's true. May I say that you're a very charming fellow?
Oh, Jerry, don't tell me you're interested in girls.
Oh, believe it or not, Jean, there comes a time in a young man's life when the Lone Ranger doesn't mean a thing. Now, Jean, if I were only a doctor and you were only a nurse, we could make beautiful penicillin together.
Oh, Jerry, you're sweet.
Well, suppose you and I run off together, park in the moonlight, and I'll serenade you with something romantic, like the beer barrel poker.
Now, there's nothing romantic about the beer barrel poker.
There is, if you drink the beer first. Come with me, my darling, and I will show you the highway to life.
Highway to life? Not with you, Jerry. You know too many detours. Anyway, why should I go out with you?
Why not? Would it be bad if I took you driving in my new convertible? Would it be bad if I took you to Ciro's? Would it be bad if we dined on pheasant and champagne?
Jerry, you'd do all that.
No, but would it be bad?
No, but right now I can think of something better, and that is to introduce a sparkling gem from MGM. A young lady whose inimitable style has made her tops with all our Bedside Network fans, as well as listeners all over the world. Here she is, looking just as lovely as she does in her latest picture, Till the Clouds Roll By. The gal with the deadpan and the very lively figure, Virginia O'Brien.
Thanks a lot. Hi, guys and gals. I'd like to dig right into the sad saga of a girl named Lorelei. This is for Seaman First Class, Gonzales, and for all the gang up Fairbanks way. Shall we proceed? Back in the days of knights in armor, there once lived a lovely charmer. Swimming in the Rhine, her figure was divine. She had a yen for all the sailors, fishermen and gobs and whalers. She had a most immoral eye. They called her Lorelei. She created quite a stir. And I want to be like her. I want to be like the gal on the river who sang her song to the ships passing by. She had the goods and how she could deliver the Lorelei. She used to love in a strange kind of fashion, with lots of hey, hoody, ho, hidey, hi. And I can guarantee I'm full of passion, like the Lorelei. I'm treacherous, yeah, yeah. Oh, I just can't hold myself in check. I'm lecherous, yeah, yeah. I wanna bite my initials on a sailor's neck. So if it's love and romance you're desiring, I have an overabundant supply. I wanna be just like that other siren, the Lorelei.
Wonderful, Virginia. A truly touching tale.
Thanks, Jean.
Yes, sir, Virginia.
But, Jean, I enjoy everything you do. I love your acting.
Yes, Jean, and I...
Oh, it's nothing, Jenny. But I'm really wild about your singing.
What I like, Virginia...
Why, Jean, you doll, what a lovely dress you're wearing.
Jean, I...
Thanks, but I think your hairdo is just out of this world.
Jean, Virginia, I just want to say...
Darling, I've never seen you looking lovelier.
If I had some milk cartons handy, I could make a railroad train.
Oh, Jerry Colonna. I didn't know you at first.
Virginia O'Brien, it seems like only yesterday that I held her on my knee.
Really?
Well, come to think of it, it was yesterday, and it only seemed like Virginia O'Brien, so... Virginia, we've got to make up for lost time.
Make up for lost time? Jean, whatever does the boy mean?
Look at the gleam in his eyes. That light doesn't mean... That light doesn't mean he's a pinball machine.
Virginia, you wonderful girl, when you sang that song about the mermaid, it took me back to the days when I was a sailor.
Oh, I'll bet you were a doll in tight pants.
In those days, I had women to burn.
You had women to burn?
Yeah, I cut them out of Esquire, and the captain made me burn them.
Say, I'll bet you got around in those days. Jerry, weren't you the kind of sailor who likes a little gal in every port?
Oh, not exactly. I was the kind of who likes a little port in every gal. And I guess those were the days when I first started to think of girls as boats.
To think of girls as boats?
Yes, boats are so graceful, so feminine. Of course, on some, the paint's a little cracked. And on the others, the cargo has shifted. But Virginia, you're one of the prettiest little destroyers I've seen.
Oh, now you're thinking of me as a boat.
Yes, and Virginia, I'd love to be your barnacle. Our life together would be wonderful. We were two boats sailing life's seas together in fair weather of foul, zephyr or typhoon. And who knows, in a year or two, we might hear the putter of little P.T. boats.
Oh, Jerry.
And when I get old and went to dry dock, you'd be at my side to hold my anchor while I get my hull straight. Isn't that a beautiful one? Would you like to kiss me, my slave?
Oh, yes, Jerry, please do. Take me in your arms like this. Hold me close like this. That's right.
Now I'll bend you backwards in my arms.
Please, let's not tilt the machine.
Say, hold everything. What's going on here? Jerry, you said you were madly in love with me.
He did. Jerry, you heartbreaking Casanova, let me go.
Oh, sob, sob, my heart is broken.
Jerry. Jerry, you dirty rat.
Watch it, girls. Let's not lose our tempers. Remember the old saying, together we stand divided, and standing we'll all divide, falling together. Although I had that kiss pointed at Virginia, I'd be very happy to get a little bit on you. With these handlebars, I find it very easy to stare my face.
Nothing doing.
Now then, my love, study a moment, and I shall put you in the mood with a romantic tale of old India.
Oh, Professor, tell us more.
Happy lies beneath your house of hell. I'm a sign. My loving baby, in the hands I now, beside the Shalimar. Ah, yes. Hail hands I love. I shall never forget the touch of her lily white fingers in my cheeks. And speaking of hands, madam, are your hands rough and red? Are they red up to the elbow? Are they red right up to the shoulder? They are? Well, get back in your wigwam, kid. You're an Indian. Hail hands I loved beside the Shalimar.
Magnificent. Magnifique. Bravo, Signor Colonna. Jerry, your voice is beautiful. Did you ever sing with Tommy Dorsey, the sentimental gentleman of swing?
No, but I sang with Basal Metabolism, the hungover hangnail of harmony. Grand band. Also, I sang with a policeman's quartet.
A police quartet? Sounds like fun.
It was awful.
How come?
Every time I sang I'm Confessing, they beat me with a rubber hose. But tell me, Jean, what's next on the program?
Well, some of our faithful listeners have been asking to hear our version of a classic movie, a movie that started a whole new trend in the cinema.
Oh, interesting. What's the title?
It's, if you'll pardon the expression, Naked City.
Oh, yes, and in Boston, I saw that picture with selected shorts. A detective story, wasn't it?
Well, it showed a day in the life of several New Yorkers. One of them was a newly married detective.
Oh, wonderful, Jean. I shall be happy to portray the detective. I've played many a great detective on the radio.
No. No kidding. Who were you? Inspector Keene, tracer of lost persons?
Better yet, Inspector Seeley, tracer of lost mattresses. I've solved many a baffling crime.
Oh, Jerry, you've never been a real detective.
Oh, no, it's apparent that you've never heard of the famous Knopoff murder case.
Knopoff murder case?
Yes, indeed. What a case. There were three cousins, Popoff, Hopoff, and Knopoff, who were related to each other. So, naturally, they weren't very friendly. One day, Knopoff had his head mysteriously drop off. So, right away, Popoff and Hopoff tipped the local cop off. But this is the day the cop's off. So, I personally stop off to handle the case of Popoff, Hopoff, and Knopoff. First, I find that Popoff is in love with Mrs. Knopoff, but Mrs. Knopoff is in love with Mr. Hopoff. So, Popoff has reason to lop off the head of Knopoff and blame it on Hopoff to get rid of Popoff after Mr. Popoff and Mrs. Knopoff. All clear? So, what do? I arrest both Popoff and Knopoff, and their heads I get chopped off. Who do you think really killed Hopoff? Popoff or Knopoff?
Popoff?
Nope.
Popoff?
Nope.
Well, darn it, Jerry. Then who did do it?
A Yugoslavian chicken plucker named Schmidt.
Schmidt.
All right, so I made one little mistake. I'll see you later when we do Naked City.
Thank you, Jerry. And now, Virginia, what have you got there?
Why, Jean, for all the boys at Cushing General Hospital in Framingham, Massachusetts, it's a copy of A Haunting Lullaby, Go to Sleep, My Baby. Go to sleep, my baby, my baby, my baby. Oh, won't you go to sleep, my lovely little pretty little baby? My baby, go to sleep. Whoa, go to sleep, my baby. Oh, baby. Oh, won't you go to sleep, my babe, my babe, my baby? Oh, go to sleep. Whoa. Marumba! Go to sleep, my little senorita. Mama's moose chiquita, what a sweet chiquita in her white casita. Go to sleep, my little sweet bambina. Lips as red as vina. I have never seen a cuter Cuban queen.
Virginia, you're sensational. And now let's get on with our drama. Jack McCoy, will you set the scene for Naked City?
Right. Here we go to New York, approaching the magic skyline of the city, peering down into the lives of 8 million people, each person with a story all his own.
Sorry, dear, I was detained at the office.
Yes, now there's a guy with a different story every night. Now the sun is rising, setting the sky aflame, and love has come to our city. For instance, let us go to a building just off the East River and look in on a honeymoon apartment.
Fresh.
Wrong apartment. Well, let's try this one. It's the home of two lovebirds, crack detective Colonna and his wife, Jean Aviv, who says...
Oh, Jerry, you're a wonderful detective.
That's true. I solved the famous Donica hotel robbery. I broke open the door and I caught the burglar red-handed.
Did he have the hotel towels in his suitcase?
No, he had the chambermaid in his grip.
Oh, you work so hard, darling. I wonder if you can keep up the pace.
Worries me, too. Last night I couldn't get any rest.
Why didn't you try counting sheep?
I did, but it was no use. I kept falling asleep. I'm a busy man.
That's the trouble with our marriage, Jerry. You know, all the time we've been married, you've never even kissed me. Every time you take me in your arms, the phone rings and you're called off on another case.
Well, I'll fix that right away. I'll rip out that phone by the roots. Right by the roots. There. Now, Jean, come into my eager arms. Noisy roots. Hello, Detective Colonna speaking.
Hello, this is Chief Kilhooley. Hurry over to Virginia DePice's apartment. I just found a beautiful, seductive blonde floating in the bathtub.
Well, what do you want from me?
A towel. She's soaking wet.
Farewell, my love. I'm off on another case.
But Gerald!
Oops. Hello, Chief. Where's the body?
In the next room.
Aha. She's a blonde. 5'2", eyes are blue, 36 hips, 36 chest, 36 teeth. And she used to be a model.
How do you know all that?
Easy, I peeked on the next page. Let's get to work.
Hello, you great big manly detectives. What can I do for you?
Students! Well, so this is the body, huh? I'd better go over it very carefully.
Colonna, that's not the body.
Chief, you inspect your evidence and I'll inspect mine. Looks like a very wealthy woman.
I am, big boy, and I keep all my money in my stocking.
In your stocking? The Bank of America never had branches like that.
Let's go somewhere and talk this over.
Virginia, you keep quiet and get back in that bathtub. You're dead.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be found dead in a bathtub.
Oh, then what were you doing in the tub?
Well, to tell the truth, I was mowing the lawn.
In the bathtub?
Sure. That way I don't get the grass all over the yard.
Well, I'm glad you have a logical explanation.
Well, Colonna, I guess this was just a false alarm.
Yeah, I'm going home to make love to my wife.
Ah, Gerald. At last you're home.
Yes, and I'm going to kiss you as long as the sun keeps shining over Los Angeles. Come here, me pretty. Amazing how fast that smog creeps in. Hello?
Colonna, rush out to Virginia DePeister's country estate. This time she's been beaten, shot, and strangled. There's a bottle of poison in her mouth and a rope tied around her neck.
What do you think?
I suspect foul play.
I'll be right out. Jean, that was the chief.
Again, I'll miss you, Gerald. But the light of duty is shining in your eyes. Your eyes are aglow.
Yes, and when I get a glow, I get a glow. Well, I'm off to the scene of the murder. Whoops. Colonna reporting. Chief Kilhooley.
Colonna, I found a suspect. Virginia's boyfriend, Killer McCoy.
Aha, Killer McCoy. Where were you at the time Virginia was shot?
In a steam room at a YWCA.
How could you get in the steam room of the YWCA?
Artie Shaw let me pass.
You're in the clear. Now will you take your smoking gun and get out of here? We're trying to solve a murder.
If you wait till I wash the blood off me hands here, maybe I can help you solve the murder.
Okay. Beat it, you bum. Every Tom and Harry wants to be a dick.
Don't leave him to me. I'll wrap up this case.
Very well, Gilhooley. I'll run home and kiss my wife.
You're home. Oh, Gerald, darling. darling. I missed you so.
Now, Gita Veeb, I shall hold you close. And for the first time in our married life, I shall now make love to you. Or my name isn't Jerry Colonna. Hello, Clark Gable speaking. Okay, Chief, I'll be right over. Whoops. Well, I couldn't miss it every time. Gilhooly, what's new?
Colonna, I've deduced that the fatal shot was fired from 45 feet away.
Ah, Killer McCoy, where were you when the shot was fired?
In the bathroom.
How far is that from here?
45 feet.
This case gets more baffling every minute. Chief, I can't spend the rest of my life in this case. I should be home making love to my wife.
Me too. Colonna, let's all go home.
So long, suckers. Little do they suspect I'm really the killer.
So long, killer.
Little does he suspect that I suspect he's the killer.
Well, see you around.
I'll bet he'd give $1 million to be able to pin this murder on me.
Yeah, killer, be good.
I'd give $1 million to pin this murder on him if I could only find the murder weapon.
Well, looks like a nice day for a walk.
You'll never find that gun.
Yep, it's nice and warm.
I wish I knew where he hid that gun.
Yes, sir, indeed.
He'll never know I hid it among the petunias.
Where?
Among the petunias.
Aha! You're under arrest, Killer McCoy.
No, no, no. You'll never take me alive. I'm going to jump out this window.
Hey, Colonna, he bounced back.
Yeah, always happens when you jump out these basement windows.
And that's the story of how one group lives in our naked city. Now dusk is falling. Bright lights go on along Broadway. Many colored lights twinkle in the harbor. A fog is rolling in. Colored lights and fog are beautiful and thrilling. And yet there's heartbreak in this scene. For down in his waterfront apartment, a lonely young man cries bitterly.
Genevieve, you're gone. Gone! I finally got a chance to hold you close and you left. Why, Genevieve? Why? Why? Why?
And out of the night, the answer returns.
Thank you, Jerry, and Chief of Police Bud Whidden, for participating in our dramatic offering tonight. Virginia, that was a great presentation, wasn't it?
Jean, another play like that would bring down the house.
Mm-hmm.
With us under it.
But really, lover boy, it was fun.
Thank you, Jean.
He really was a lover boy tonight, the way he made passes at both of us.
Oh, just called me Rossellini.
You're not that way in real life, always chasing girls.
No, no. As a matter of fact, from now on, I'm going to let girls chase me. You're going to see a new Colonna.
But, Jerry, what if girls don't chase you?
Then you'll see the old Colonna.
Oh, fine. Well, gang, thanks for asking us in. The best of luck to you all, and good night.
Jack McCoy speaking. This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.